T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right now, we're joined by the great Jack Zarenczyk, former scouting director of the Pirates, GM of the Seattle Mariners, co-host with Craig Riley and Dan Zangrilli on Pirates pre and post once we get baseball season started up again. Jack, you know everybody in baseball. You're like the Kevin Bacon of baseball. Everybody kind of has a connection back to you. So what we figured we'd do in this segment is we would name, and we've got submissions from listeners, I'm going to give you a random Pirate from the past, and you're going to give us a Jack Zarenczyk story about that player.
Well, let me. Can I add one thing before we get started?
Sure.
If Paul Zeiss lets that album go out, and if it becomes a seller, I have the name for the album. It should be called Courage. Because if you're singing like that, you got a lot of courage.
Well, we got another song off the album.
It might have been Liquid Courage that he had, Jack.
Yeah, good call. All right, Jack, we got some random Pirates, and if you want to call in and submit one to Jack, 412-928-9370. The first one we received, Jack, comes from SweatyButt12 on Twitter. He wants you to give us your best Al Martin story.
Oh, Al Martin. So Al Martin's playing in Seattle. And after he left here in Pittsburgh, obviously, and Al Martin goes into the left field wall. I mean, just face plants into the left field wall. The next day, they come out to the ballpark. Ken Griffey has gone out to the exact spot, and he takes like a crime scene paint of Al Martin's body face plant painted up against the left field wall. So that's Ken Griffey, a prankster. Mm. He walked out of the dugout for batting practice, and there's the face plant painted of Al Martin up against the wall.
Chris, would you
Is it my turn?
Sure.
Yeah, I would like Steve Cook.
You know, Steve, I don't know if I have any really funny stories about Steve Cook. Although I tell you, he was pretty good. You know, he wasn't bad. I mean, he was a guy I think they thought was going to come along quite a bit for him. You know, did a nice job, didn't become a star, but, you know, I think Chris Cook did a nice job for him.
Keith Osick.
Jack, hold on. Before you go to Keith Osick, correct me if I'm wrong, because this is like one of those weird, vivid childhood memories, and it's the reason I brought up Steve Cook. Does it sound familiar to you, the story where he would have lost a game to Atlanta 1-0 while throwing a one-hitter because the one hit was a David Justice home run?
How about that one? All right. Well, there's you got one on me then. That's a good one. Keith Osick. So Keith played at LSU, was a catcher at LSU, and I always thought of Keith Osick. You know, he played a decent amount of time, but he didn't play a lot because he was playing behind Kendall, who played all the time. But it reminds me of a funny story years ago. Pete Vukovich and Ted Simmons told me a little story about Eddie Romero, who was a backup infielder in Milwaukee. And he was moaning and groaning because he wasn't playing. But you got Robin Yount short. You got Paul Molitor. You got Jim Gantner. You got Cecil Cooper. But he wants to play. One day they put their arm around him and they said, Eddie, do us a favor and do yourself a favor. Keep your mouth shut, because as soon as you start playing a lot, you're not going to be on this ball club. They're going to find out what you can't do. So in terms of Keith Osick, I always thought, you know, Keith was in a great spot. You know, Keith, keep your mouth shut. Let Kendall play all the games he's playing. You're going to be in the big leagues for a long time as a backup catcher. And he was.
Chris?
I'm trying to really dig.
I got another one here that just got texted in, so you can take your time. Give us a story on Chris Duffy, Jack.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know Chris Duffy real well. There's a period of time when I wasn't around here, so don't have a whole lot on him.
How about Tyke Redman?
Same thing with Tyke Redman. I'm gonna have to pass on that one.
Tyke Redman
pass. How about Don Slott?
Yeah, so you know, after Don Slott left Pittsburgh here, he got he was a UCLA guy. He was a bright guy. But I would run into Don Slott every year at the Area Code games out in California, which is in Long Beach, which are the very biggest amateur tournament in the country. And Don Slott really fantasized himself as a hitting guy, and I think he did that for a little bit in Detroit under Jim Leland. But Don Slott would show up with his computer with tapes left and right, and he would have scouts and players in the corner and analyze their hitting and analyze everything that they were doing, but mostly, you know, trying to sell a product or get a guy to come on board where he could eventually be their hitting guru, if you will, private lessons and stuff like that. So I'd see him quite a bit after his career here in Pittsburgh.
Jack Zarenzik, name a pirate, get a story. I don't even know if this is a real player that just got texted into us. A guy named Sixto Lescano.
Oh, yeah. He's with Milwaukee Brewers, yeah. Sixto Lescano was a pretty good player. I don't have any real great stories about him. But, yeah, he was one of the outfielders for the Brewers.
And his name was Sixto. Jack, you know.
Yeah, Sixto Lescano. Mm.
How about Joe Orsulak?
Yeah, we kind of missed each other here. I wasn't around Joe a lot, you know, although, you know, we all know that he did a pretty decent job for him for a short time, but I don't have a real good background with him. I just didn't spend a lot of time around him.
All right, next, Chris.
Steve Buschel.
Yeah, so that was a big trade that Larry Doty made right at the trade deadline, and he kind of had his hand forced because you had a tough scenario with Jeff King's back injury. And Steve Buschel, who had played as a senior in college at Stanford, you know, ends up going to Texas and being an everyday player for Texas. I remember we were sitting in a room, and Larry Doty had two or three guys, and he said, I need a third baseman. He was asking us, Cam Bonifay, myself, Chet Montgomery, and we ended up coming up with Steve Buschel. You know, he won't be a star. He'll be an everyday player. He'll be a guy that's kind of unnoticed. But on a club like this, if you want dependability, this is the guy that's going to play every day for you. And that's kind of end up what he ended up doing.
Name a pirate, get a story. How about Randy, don't call me Mike Tomlin?
Mike Tomlin?
Randy Tomlin.
Oh, Randy Tomlin. You know what? It's funny you brought that up. You know, so Randy later, after he left here, ended up becoming a pitching coach at Liberty University. You know, and I think that's where he went to school, actually. Very religious guy. And his wife, I loved his wife. She was such an energetic guy. Randy was such a quiet guy. So we used to say all the time, it was kind of a joke among us, you know, that she was so talkative and friendly and Randy was so quiet that she probably said, Randy, will you marry me? Because Randy didn't say enough to propose to her. That was just an inside joke.
Carlos Garcia.
Yeah, the shortstop Carlos Garcia.
Sure. Right?
Did he play short or second base with the Pirates? Well, I remember him as a second baseman.
Okay, well, he may have played, but he played short coming up through the system. Well, yeah, he played short coming up through the system, but he was a nice-looking player. I'll never forget Ted Simmons was the general manager here, and he had gone up to see the AA club, or the AAA club play. At that time, we were in Buffalo. And he said to the manager at that time, you know, who do you got on this club that's going to play every day in the big leagues? He said, I got two guys, and that's it. One is Carlos Garcia, and the other is Albert Martin. Nobody else on this club is going to be an everyday player. So, you know, and he ended up becoming a pretty good player. You know, not a great player, but he was a guy that they thought was going to be really good.
Jack, do you remember a Pirates pitcher named Josh Fogg?
Yeah, but I wouldn't have been around here. He was before me, but I don't know a lot about him.
I got a little
story for you if you want. You might remember a guy named Adrian Brown?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
So here's an Adrian Brown story. You know, and this, you know, I'm scouting director at Pittsburgh, and we draft Adrian Brown. I don't know, 50th round or something like that, very very low. And our scout's name was Boyd Odom, who lived in Atlanta, and Boyd had Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia. So he drafts Adrian Brown and calls on a phone and says to me, hey, I'm going to go in and see Adrian Brown. I'm going to talk to him. And I want him to go to Meridian Junior College. And in those days, if you drafted a high school player and he went to junior college, then you controlled the rights to that player until the next draft. They called it the draft and follow. So technically, no one was allowed to talk to him. No one was going to interfere with him. But, you know, that was going to be your property. So what happens is, I said, well, go ahead, great, great. Tell him, go on. You know, we took him as a draft and followed, and no intentions of signing him whatsoever. Let him go play a year of junior college and see how he comes along. Maybe he advances. So Boyd called me on the phone, and he says, Jack, I'm about to go in there. Are you going to be available? Yeah, go ahead. Okay, tell the family congratulations. Wish him luck. I don't know, about 45 minutes later, Boyd calls me on the phone. He said, and you have to offer a player a contract. The rules were you had to put a contract on the table. That's just the way it was. No money, but you had to make an official offer. So Boyd calls me back, and he said, hey Jack, this guy's going to sign a contract. I was like, Boyd, what do you mean he's going to sign a contract? We took him as a draft and follow. You explained to them we're going to watch him play Meridian JC, the whole deal. Oh, Jack, I went through the whole thing with them. I went through it all. And I put the contract on the table for the parents to sign. They called it a reconsent form. He's signing the contract. I said, Boyd, what kind of offer did you give him? Jack, I didn't give him anything. I have no money on the table. No money for school, no money on the table at all, just to sign a reconsent form. He's signing the contract. He doesn't want to sign a reconsent. He wants to go play right now. I said, wow. I said, well, Boyd, here's what you do. Give him $3,000. Give him the college scholarship program. I learned a long time ago when I first started scouting that a guy told me, an old-time scout told me, the best players, Jack, you're ever going to sign are the ones that really want to play. So I said, Boyd, if he wants to play that bad, then give him some money. We'll let him go out and play. Wish him the very best. You know, and he played three or four years in the big leagues. Never became a great player, but for a guy that was taken around the 50th round, that goes to show you, you know, what determination can do for a guy.
Jack, I'm astonished to report as I pulled up Adrian Brown's, his career numbers at Baseball Reference. He hit .315 in 104 games in 2000.
I'm just
dumbfounded. This guy, if you take his best couple of years, was like a .290 hitter whenever he was playing.
Didn't know that about him. All right, here's one we got from Jason Mackey. He wants to know more about Mark Johnson, Jack.
Oh, the big jump, Mark Johnson, the Ivy Leaguer, big first baseman.
Yep.
Is that big? Yeah. Okay, well, you know, he was drafted before I got here.
Okay.
Big physical guy, really good guy, smart. I think he went to Dartmouth, if I'm not mistaken.
He did?
Yeah, but a really smart guy, a big power guy, you know, didn't have a great swing, didn't have great, let's say, bat speed, you know, wasn't the type of guy that you looked at and thought was going to be something special. But you got to give Mark Johnson a lot of credit. I mean, he ended up playing in the big leagues for a little while. And, you know, a guy came out of the Ivy League school, so the competition was okay. And, you know, tip your hat to him. He's got big league time, and I'm sure he's very successful in whatever he's doing nowadays.
How about Lee Lacy, Jack?
Leg kick. He had a huge leg kick in that swing is what I remember about Mark Johnson. The guy would lift his leg up. It looked like his knee was at his chin.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned Lee Lacy. So you go back to the days when Pittsburgh had a really nice ball club, and they had a couple great pinch hitters at the time. Back when, go back to Manny Mota, who was really, really a good pinch hitter. Later ended up with the Dodgers, and that's what he made his career at. Another one was Lee Lacy. Lee Lacy, they got from the Dodgers, very talented guy, played a lot as a backup player, but Lee Lacy had big league talent, and he got a nice big league career.
Jack, tell us more. Go ahead, Chris. You got one for me?
I was going to say, do I have time for one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I was going to go with, I'm dialing in, sweet spot here, Jay Bell.
Yeah, Jay Bell. So another great guy, you know, and you know, he was drafted by Minnesota in first round, a guy that came out of the panhandle, got traded here, was a terrific trade for the Pirates, you know. And I remember, I don't think you were allowed to do this in those days, but at Old Three River Stadium, you could sit down behind home plate underneath the stands. And they had the camera down there to get a ground level. And we would go down there oftentimes instead of sitting in the stands, you'd go down there and, you know, watch the pitcher from down below. So you were technically ground level. And between innings, Jay Bell would always come into that tunnel, and he would sit there for, like, just to watch three or four pitches. Relief pitcher would come in. Jay Bell would come in and watch there. Another guy, Jay Bell, would come in. He was like the only pirate that would sneak in there, and he'd always tell us, don't tell anybody I'm here. I want to see his release point. I want to see his release point. That was the big thing he was always doing. So I'm not sure if that was legal, but Jay Bell did that quite a bit.
How about Dave Cash, Jack?
Yeah, there was a good player. You know, there was, you know, Pittsburgh had this series of second basemen, Rennie Stennett, Dave Cash, and, you know, Rennie Stennett obviously was going to be the guy, and then ended up breaking his ankle and never, ever became the second baseman he was supposed to be. And then Dave Cash, you know, kind of flair about him, had the big afro, you know, and he had a, and kind of dressed where he always looked really nice, you know, in a baseball uniform, and ended up, I think he ended up with Philadelphia after that, was traded to Philly and was, you know, had a lot of success as a big league player.
My aunt went to high school with him. That's why I brought it up. That's all.
Ah, okay.
That was the story.
All right.
That's all. That's
all
I got.
Cecil Espy.
Yeah, Cecil Espy. His father actually was a scout, you know.
Ooh.
And, yeah, his father worked as his part-time scout along the way. Jim liked him. You know, he was kind of one of those backup players. He gave you a lot, give you a good effort. Hard-nosed guy. But, you know, he could run a little bit. Just typical backup player at the big league level. Never got a chance to play every day. He wasn't that type of talent. But I would run into his father quite a bit over the baseball circles when I would get out into the area where they lived at.
Jack Sorensic knows everybody in baseball. Name a pirate, get a story. Thank you so much for playing, Jack. We appreciate it.
Anytime, anytime. You guys take care. Good
we
luck
will.
To you.
There you go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.